Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Daisy Gray.
Yes.
Lindsay Wolfcom.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. It's sort of a morning show. Happy Easter to those that celebrate it. We're the studio is closed to the public, so we get to record at, you know, noon instead of like in the early morning.
Mainly, my mom has Easter dinner tonight. As in, she just said, "Hey, come to Perryville." So I was like, "All right, cool." Jesse, can we make this an afternoon show? Really like free food.
That's pretty much how it went down.
Yeah. But also, we're missing the more important holiday today. Happy birthday, Zane Laney.
Happy birthday, Zane Laney.
Just to say, Patreon, you subscribe to us and be that big of a fan, I will say your birthday is more important than an actual legitimate holiday. He's pretty much the only Patreon person I don't dislike most of the time.
We have more than just our circle of friends. At a certain point, I am going to need you to actively stop crapping on the people who donate us money.
Fair enough. All right, Ciro and Zane.
Holy crap.
Agreed. I'm going to.
It's not a funny bit. Like, I get you think it's funny, but stop.
Because I know you and Austin Lane have your little. Oh, sorry, Johnny Underwood. Have your thing.
There it is.
Like, but you and Johnny and Derek, but like, it's not an inside joke for everybody.
Right. Right. Anyway, so on to the new stuff. We'll stop before we get too mad at Dalton and end up saying things that Spider-Man Far From Home is has moved up. Its release date is 3 days earlier now. So it's going to premiere on Tuesday, July 2nd.
Because they don't want it to come out on the 4th?
It was supposed to come out on the 5th. Which, I mean, then would be a Friday, the 4th, obviously, then Thursday. So, yeah, I guess they wanted to have it out before the 4th so that people could go and see it on the 4th of July.
But a Tuesday.
Well, because I know, like, 4th of July is a really popular movie-watching day, like, it and Christmas.
Is it?
Yeah, weirdly popular movie-going
I know Christmas
days.
Is and, like, yeah. Like, those holidays, but, like, that's weird to me because...
I guess maybe because people are out of work.
Well, because, like, Christmas and Thanksgiving, like, you're done by, like, 4.
Unless you work retail.
Well, oh, I'm not talking for employees. I'm talking, like, family stuff. Yeah. Like, usually you're done, you know, in the early evening, late afternoon. So, yeah, you can go and see a movie. But, like...
Fourth of July,
at least. And maybe it's just the way that my family and friends have always celebrated it.
You just blow stuff up all day.
It's an all-day thing. And, major fireworks stuff doesn't start until 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And for a lot
you
of
swim,
people...
You swim, you barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's how my family's always done it. Like, you grill during the day, like... And, yeah, the kids are out blowing up, like, the cheap fireworks. Your bottle rockets, mm-hmm. your...
throwing snaps at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
$3 for 58 of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
The
all
lady
that,
fingers.
All that cool stuff gets set off during the day by the kids.
You're in and out of the ER by the time, like, it's the fireworks, the real show starts.
Oh, your ER was way more efficient than the Perryville ER. You're in that one. You're in that one for that. That's the rest of your 4th. You're going into the 5th at that point.
I'm in the big city.
Yeah.
We got two
ERs. you're in Perryville, you're in one ER.
And if nothing's, you know, completely blown off, you can go to an urgent care.
It's true.
Oh, God, you reminded me of that Brody thing from last night that I watched where it's just like, no, a stabbing's like the cold here. And now I'm getting angry of just like, oh, you lovely humans.
Anyway, so yeah, the 4th of July, though, like, I guess a lot of families, like, the only thing they really do for 4th of July is at night they might, like, do some grilling and then go see, like, their city's big fireworks display.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Versus, so that leaves you with basically the entire, like, early morning, early afternoon, you know, assuming you eat at, like, 6 o'clock or 5 or 6 o'clock, like, that gives you that entire window where it's hot as balls outside and you can go into the nice air-conditioned theater and watch a movie.
I guess that's fair.
And obviously, like, it's a super holiday, so it's one of those holidays, anyway, where nothing is open, other than, like,
restaurants,
you know.
And gas stations and
yep.
all of the things that don't ever close for anything.
Correct.
Or if you're in Perryville, only the Chinese restaurants.
Red Lobster ruined so many of my 4th of Julys.
Andy's Frozen Custard ruined several of mine. Because what place is more popular than anywhere on 4th of July?
Andy's.
An ice cream store.
Yeah. Well, it turns out after the fireworks show and they've decided to send everyone home, lots of people decide, let's go get seafood.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
whenever they had, and before that, though.
So screwed.
They stop at Andy's because.
To go to the fireworks stand.
Yeah. Because Arena Park is where they do. Yeah, that's where they do the fireworks display, or did several years while I was working at Andy's. This was obviously more than a decade ago now. But, yeah, Andy's Roasted Custard was, like, they would be leaving the fireworks display.
That was pretty much their concession stand.
Exactly.
Andy's.
We had, the last 4th of July I worked there, the line was wrapped so far around the building that it curved out off of the, like, out of the parking lot and into that little street there. Yeah.
See, holidays were always really horrible at Hastings, but it's because it's that movie rental thing. It's the same premise of it being super big for movie theaters, where it's like, we have the whole family together. Let's get American Sniper. Like, because that was the one year, and I was super confused by it. But, yeah, no.
Independence Day is always sold out.
Well, when you only have one copy of it, because it's 50 years old. Well, okay, like 20 years old. But, yeah, no, the only day, like, 4th of July always sucked. Easter was okay. But, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve can go themselves hard.
So, yeah, July 2nd now. So you'll be able to see, for those moviegoers that like to go on 4th of July.
We can all go see it for $5.
Get the whole family together. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I wonder if that's excluded.
I have to imagine it will be.
I feel like new releases are excluded.
But they never release on Tuesdays, though. That's the thing.
Because don't they also have the late night, like, showings are cheaper?
Early morning.
It's only early morning?
If you go before 11.
Because I know, like, when they do the midnight showings, those are never cheaper than any, like, other showing.
Any late night showing is
so I can't. I have to
price.
Imagine that, like, it's an open, like, excluding opening movies, like.
Because it's one of those things, like, I don't think they've ever had that addendum attached to it because it's never happened before.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of, like, it's a Tuesday.
Because I know you can go, like, you can see the brand new movie, like, if it released on Friday, that following Tuesday it'll be $5.
Yeah.
And you'll get the free popcorn and drink with it.
Same thing, like, that Sunday or whatever, if you go early in the morning, it's
although
still...
In fairness, Monday, I will likely be seeing it Monday.
Oh,
because if it launches Tuesday, they'll do their midnight release Monday.
Fair enough. Quick. I didn't think you'd be a midnight release for this one.
Oh, no, not... Well, they don't do them at midnight anymore.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is like 7 p.m.
Yeah, it'll be like
7. Like that. Anyway.
And I don't mind doing that at all.
Fair enough. All right, so yeah, Spider-Man coming out a few days early. Swamp Thing from the DC Universe's TV show they got coming up.
Got done early.
Yeah, production halted completely. And a reduced episode order for the show. So I don't know what happened. And again, this isn't 100% confirmed, but it's basically confirmed. You don't need any salt with this when it's happening. We just don't know why.
Yeah, because one of the... several of the people on the show have since deleted their tweets.
Yep.
Voicing their frustration with it. I'm wondering if it's... The only thing that I can possibly think of is if it's like a... DC's looking at how much money Titans and Doom Patrol are making for them and not seeing the kind of return that they're expecting. Because even though they're being, like, people are loving them, apparently, when it's a streaming service and you're not, you know, paying per episode, like, okay, well, we're paying all of this money to make Swamp Thing, but if we're not going to end up, if it's only going to make us what Doom Patrol and Titans made us, then now cut our losses and just we'll put out what we have. They'll redo the ending because we're cutting like 3 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely could be it. I'm not sure. I'm wondering if the, because obviously they've been taking steps to drastically improve the DC streaming service. And I'm wondering if it's just not as popular as they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, not as many people are jumping on the subscription. Cause I mean, they've done a bunch of stuff to try and get more people interested in it.
Yeah.
And I like, they haven't released the numbers, so I have no idea how successful it's been. I know there's, you know, account sharing is a thing, and I'm sure that's been a little bit of an issue for them.
Yeah, that has to be biting into a revenue.
But, I mean, that's the same for, like, I mean, Hulu and Netflix have been dealing with that for years.
Yeah, but Hulu and Netflix have that wide appeal of there's something for you for, there's something for everybody on both of those services. Whereas DC is a very niche offering, and from what I've seen, like, they don't really have anything that is must see. Like, I would like to see Titans and Doom Patrol just because I've heard good things about it.
I mean, Young Justice season 3, I'd argue, is must see. But,
yeah, but like that. But even that, like, I'm just like, I'll see it when I see it.
Yeah, it's not like it also isn't a wide audience thing.
Yeah, there's not like, a cultural, like, oh, you have to see this. And Netflix and Hulu have that. Plus, the whole, like, even their comics offering is significantly worse than what Marvel offers.
Yeah, I mean, it is better now.
It's getting better. And even, like, them announcing, like, oh, we're putting, like, everything, we're eventually, like, adding, because, like, I think this week they added, like, 10,000 issues of stuff, which is insane. But when your backlog only go, or when your most recent stuff is a year versus Marvel 6 months, like...
Yeah, because I think we talked about that on the episode that you and Dalton were off of. So it was just me, Lindsay, and Mandy. I think that
was it was, because I remember seeing, like, I don't know if I got emailed about it or I saw it on their Facebook page, but I think the original thing was like 20,000 comic books. And I was like, well, that's a lot. And then it went down to 10,000. I was like, that's still a substantial amount.
Yeah. No, because they're continuously adding stuff, which is good. It's just they're not really, as much as I love DC, like, it's not a... Like, Disney is going to blow it out of the water. Like, if we see those numbers.
Yeah.
Just because, DC isn't as culturally pervasive as, you know, we might think.
I mean, no, like, it's definitely not. It's just, I don't know, like, I want to know what their numbers are. Like, and that absolutely could be the situation with Swamp Thing. Like, it could also have just been problems on the set.
Yeah.
It could have been, like, disputes with, like, director and writer.
Production issues are, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, like, the production company versus, like, the creative team, too.
Yeah. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that could have gone wrong. I could absolutely see it being an issue with, like, DC's not seeing what they want to see out of Doom Patrol and Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, I feel like they should just do what Netflix does, like, go full Netflix with releasing that stuff. Mm-hmm. Stop releasing it a week at a time and just... Here it all is, binge at your leisure.
Because I will say that's it. I think that's what ended up hurting me on Titans, because I was so unentertained by it for, I think I was on like 4 or 5 weeks of watching it, and I would watch it the day it would release, and then after a while it was just like, I'm not going to cut an hour out of my day for something that I don't enjoy. If it would have all been there at once, I might have actually been able to get through it, just because it was like, oh, well...
I'll dedicate a day to it I'm going to open up this app. Like next week to like take all these extra steps to go through and watch something that I'm not super digging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to try Doom Patrol, because I will say the only episode of Titans I liked was that episode.
Lindsay, did you ever end up seeing Young Justice?
No, not yet. I mean, I watched the first 2 seasons, but not the new one.
Need more people to see that.
The last half of season 3 is out in June.
I think so.
Because that's coming up pretty soon. So I might get someone's login stuff, and I still need to go through and
rewatch the trial. That's how I watched the first half of season 3.
Yeah, but there's so much, like, I'm still doing like Marvel stuff, and I finally hit level 30 in the Division last night. So I'm like, I booted up Cuphead again because I decided I hate myself. I got that pacifist achievement.
Man, there.
And I was very angry when I saw that there were 0 gamer score to come with the pacifist achievement.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We have to go through all of the run and gun levels
without
shooting or without killing an enemy.
That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you shoot them in the knee and hope they don't die, bleed out. Like,
no, you don't shoot. Like, you just jump and dodge.
Mm-hmm.
Jump and dodge and hope that the one person who is supposed to give you a little bit of room that you can land right next to him to jump over him, because you have to have all your health, is actually spawns where he's supposed to. Spoiler alert, he doesn't.
Sounds like me with Kingdom Hearts right now.
Mm.
So
no, this takes skill. I can't just grind for 10 more hours to get a better weapon or like more health. You max out at 5, and even when you do that, you can't just like dash through stuff anymore. Oh,
I'm gonna make somebody do the flan challenges now. Skill,
real quick time events. No, sir. No,
I'm gonna slap him. I'm gonna slap him so hard.
Anyway, I mean, it would be better if you were just good at Kingdom Hearts, then we would probably not be saying a lot of this stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I won't be the one getting angry today.
It's fine. So another DC news, though. It's a little bit of a spoiler on like where this news leaked from, but an actress from Shazam signed a 5-year deal with WB, mm-hmm. or a 5-movie deal, rather, with WB. So
we might need to go to the door.
So I don't know if we've got... you know, if those are all Shazam movies, or if, you know, I'm sure some of it's going to be Justice League stuff. But either way, yeah, we've got at least 5 more movies coming featuring this character. So that's cool. Because
there's no sign or anything that we're closed.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
I assumed Easter people
would assume. Yeah, no, I was about to say that same. He said he assumed people would think it was closed because it's Easter. I literally thought that, and then Asa kind of made it. No, we probably should have put a sign up.
I had to put a sign on my store.
I blame Calvin.
Well, you have corporate, though, to tell you to do these things.
They didn't. My boss told me to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Oh, yeah, going back a little bit of Disney Plus news. So we've talked about it a few times before on this show. Song of the South will is confirmed. Will not be on Disney Plus.
Shocked. Shocked.
Surprising no one. Now, I'm sure there are some people that are upset about it. There was probably...
purists in history, not like racial purists, but like like Disney... Well, yeah, those two.
Disney completists.
The completionists, if you will, are probably like bummed that something is being...
Excluded,
but at the same time...
I get it.
Obvious reasons.
Yeah, those people should understand why it's being excluded. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, they were actually looking forward to finally being able to see Song of the South, because that's, I mean, you could find it on YouTube, I think.
The last time it was released, and again, I only know this because of Defunct Land, was like 1980 something.
Yeah,
and
it was on VHS.
And it was it edited?
I don't remember.
It was either edited or they put a thing at the beginning.
Was it 12 minutes?
No, it had the thing at the beginning. I do remember it got released. It had the thing at the beginning like it was a different
time. I have a record that's all the Br'er Rabbit parts.
So my kindergarten class definitely sang Zippity Doo Dah. Uh-huh. And being where I'm from, totally checks out.
Yeah. Anyway,
I hate that song's in that song does that movie does not deserve that amazing song.
Yeah, there's a lot of other songs in there because if you actually like, I think if you censored it out completely, there'd be like three songs left. Like
that's fair. Now I'm about to do a lot of Googling of Song of the South.
Right?
Yeah,
my laughing place would probably still be in there. Zippity doo dah.
Song of 1946.
Those
film.
Are the only
Jesus.
Ones I remember.
Yeah.
Somewhat related, but not really. Did you see the thread on Reddit a while back that was Soto's of Walt Disney in Disney World? It's photos of Walt Disney that are hanging up in various places in Disney World and like Disneyland, mm-hmm. but they have photoshopped him smoking mm-hmm. out of it. Like, so he's just standing there like with the two fingers.
he has a headache half the time.
At his side and just like, you know, he's just randomly posing, like clearly holding a cigarette because apparently the majority of the times he was photographed, he was smoking because back then people just smoked. It was just a thing you did.
Yeah, if I cool, remember like, correctly, starting in May, all Disney parks are non-smoking.
That's solid. They
won't even have like little smoking areas. Area. There's an area outside the entrance of the park that they will have, and that is it.
The frozen corpse of Disney is rolling over in his grave right now.
No, his head is fine.
If family vacation wasn't tense enough, Dad's not able to smoke in between rides. Oh, God.
Because I mean, a lot of people did a lot of things that weren't good for you back in the day.
I might be going. Which one's in
like cocaine?
Orlando?
That's World.
I might be going to Disney World next year.
Jerk.
It's.
I've never been before.
It's it's an experience. It's super expensive, mm-hmm. and you need to like research stuff you're going to see beforehand to settle your. Which I think you'll be fine because you don't like roller coasters.
No, I'm not a big roller coaster. Well, I used to be, but it's one of those things like. Tampa is an hour away from Orlando, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure I'm going to Mania next year. And like my friends were like, we're gonna take like Friday or Saturday to go. And I'm like,
okay,
well,
here's the thing:
to pick what park you're going to.
You're only going to be able to do one park because World is literally like Disneyland in California fits in Epcot Center's parking lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, World is you're going to.
Epcot is one of five places worlds you.
So
can
you're
going to
need
Disney.
To pick. Like you guys are going to need to get together and figure out which park you want to go to
map out. Hollywood Studios or Epcot personally.
Whichever one has Toy Story Land. That's what I'm going
that
to.
Would be
that one. I don't know.
Toy Story Land is in California. I think.
Because
that's in California Adventure. I'm pretty
again.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I just was hoping that it was also going to be in the Florida.
I know they've
Dang
got
it.
Some Toy Story stuff, but I'm pretty sure the full Toy Story world is in Disneyland.
Like the Buzz Lightyear shoot thing.
Yeah.
That might be more.
No,
I don't remember.
They switched that over to something different.
I've never been to one. And it's like my friends were like, hey, if we're going to
Mania,
we're going.
I haven't been there since 2000. So they've changed a bunch.
That's actually
stuff.
Right around the time that I had been
there.
Because
I was in like, I think 6th and 8th grade
It was my 17th birthday when we went.
Yeah, for me, it was.
We're not open.
But yeah, that was MGM, I think, is the studio.
That's what it used to be. It's Hollywood Studios now.
Yeah, that was the one that I liked the most. Because
that's where you get Star Wars stuff and your Indiana Jones stuff.
Did they get rid of Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster?
Nope, it's still there.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that was brand new the year I went.
That was my favorite ride because it was the most.
I hate indoor coasters, but that one was awesome.
It was the only like roller coaster that they had.
Yeah.
Well, they also had Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. This one, joke.
I'm talking like roller coaster, like flips and upside down. Because Space Mountain's just like it's cool.
Just a really cool.
I was disappointed by Space Mountain because I was a roller coaster connoisseur at that point in time. That if it was a coaster, I rode it.
Oh, then you hated Disney.
Oh, I liked it because it was Disney.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, if you were looking for roller coasters, Disney World is not the place to go. You need to go to Universal for that.
Yeah, yes. Honestly, like Disney in general, like if you're wanting like awesome rides and stuff, mm-hmm. Disney's not the park for you.
Yeah.
It's more about like the spectacle, the shows. Yeah,
exactly.
Magic Kingdom was just about the old school rides as far as that goes. And then Epcot, I was kind of in that stage that I didn't really appreciate it. I would like to go back to Epcot.
Yeah, same.
And then we didn't even get to go to Animal Kingdom at the time, so.
We went to Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and
we did all of them.
MGM were the three that we did.
We went to Hollywood twice, because I'm a nerd. Dalton.
Song of the South was put on Laserdisc.
Yes.
Yeah, she said that.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So that'd been 1990 was the last time. I'm thinking that it was released. I'm on the Wikipedia right now figuring
that's
out.
Fine.
Anyway,
it's not important. Actually, 2000, VHS. They re-released it on 2000.
In 2000?
Yeah.
On VHS?
The PAL VHS first 1983, 1991, 1992, 1996, and then again in 2000.
That's weird.
I feel like they must have lost a bet or something.
What's PAL version? Would that be?
Oh, that's European, isn't it?
Japanese, isn't it?
I mean, my
European.
European. All right, so Shannon is conferring European. Yeah, I was just checking the most recent time it was released.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I could absolutely see it being released in parts of Europe, though. No, I'm not going to get into that. So Kevin Feige. Confirms Far From Home will end phase 3 of the MCU.
Such a weird choice.
Yeah, I would think Endgame would be your end of phase 3.
Whenever you put end in the title.
Yeah, Spider-Man would be like the start of phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
I guess it depends on where it's placed time-wise.
Yeah,
I guess if it's before Endgame, then yeah.
Because
if
it's right. It's not before Endgame, we?
I'm not sure of. Like, they may have made that announcement, but because my big gripe of it is like, okay, well, we already know Spider-Man has a movie coming out after Endgame, so that kind of undoes some of the impact from Infinity War. And then people will be like, well, it could be a prequel, which it could be, but that doesn't make it better for me because then it's like, all right, well, then there's no stakes in Spider-Man because we've seen Infinity War.
We know,
right?
That.
Yeah, we either know, like, either it is a prequel to Infinity War, mm-hmm. like it's happening before Infinity War, or we know what happens to Spider-Man,
right?
So yeah, I mean, like, and honestly, with them saying it'll end Phase 3, it almost seems like it is an Infinity War prequel
because that would make sense having Endgame be the last bit of that continuity timeline,
right?
And then we go into Phase 4, but at the same time, like, if it is after. They could just be like, you know, we don't know what the Sony deal is. We don't know how many more Spider-Man movies. It was rumored that there was a trilogy. Because
mm-hmm.
I think Tom Holland messed up and said something about
what?
How many movies he signed on to do. this could be just like, you know, fallout from Infinity War. Which would also be kind of weird, like, if, like, all of the universe gets blinked back into existence and then, like, all right, well, field trip to London, kids. Like, but we don't know
maybe it's like a mind wipe.
It's also, and that's the thing, is it probably is going to involve heavy time travel, and which has been a speculative theory.
Mephisto style, like, you know, rewrite history kind of deal, or like rewrite everybody's brains kind of deal.
Yeah. So, like, so
only
it could.
People involved remember.
Right.
If that even.
If, yeah.
I just saw an 8 a.m. Showing on Sunday for Endgame. I'm going to that one. Because literally only two people have bought tickets.
So, but it's 3 hours, and well, you don't have to deal with the table at the convention.
Yeah, but I just have to worry about the panel at noon. That's why I was like 8 a.m.
Oh. Perfect. Yeah, no, I'm going to try and see.
Game.
I'm going to try and see like a midnight show.
Endgame?
I haven't dusted her yet.
So this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by Villainous Grounds.
Appreciate me, damn it.
No.
Not for that.
I'm a treasure.
Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Please stop by there for all of your comic book needs. And get some coffee. And some local art. Lots of cool stuff there.
But not today, because they're closed.
Right. Good for him. I'm happy about that.
So anyway, so we got a little bit of comic book news. Phil Lord, the writer and executive producer of Into the Spider-Verse, the animated movie, is going to write a Spider-Ham comic for Marvel.
Is this a miniseries, I'm assuming?
We have no details other than he's writing one. Because I don't know when, I don't know like who the art is going to be. Like, all we know is Phil Lord's writing it.
The Spider-Verse is probably my favorite superhero movie. Like, going through and doing my MCU rewatch, like, I'm clearly not liking any of those better than
Spider-Verse. I know,
better
I've
than
been
Spider-Verse.
So surprised at how many of them I'm like, why did I enjoy this?
Oh, no, I'm the exact opposite. Like, I'm loving them. Like, yeah, I love all of them so far. Well,
I've been
not
bored
true.
Through so many of them again.
Aww.
Captain America and Thor and Hulk are the only ones that I'm like, these are better than I remember, but they're still not great.
I had that with Hulk. Like, I had it like at the bottom of my list, and mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I actually have enjoyed this. So. Yeah.
But it's that thing where Spider-Ham in Spider-Verse was really good because it was John Mulaney, and also he was a very small part of it. Mm. He was just kind of supplementary
there
to all of
them. There was just enough of that. For
right.
It to be...
So I don't know how I feel about a full Spider-Ham book.
Yeah. And I mean, Spider-Ham has been in other, like, he's played
he's
a role
like
in other stuff, like, but, yeah, no, he's not exclusive to, like, I'm not saying you thought that he was exclusive to Spider-Verse, but yeah, he's had other, like, bit roles and stuff, like,
but that's
here
how
and there.
He works. Like, even the Spider-Verse book that he was in.
Yeah.
Like, the main Spider-Verse story, Time Vampires or whatever they were.
Yeah, in both of them, yeah. And then he also played a little bit in the Spider-Gwen comic.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, especially during their crossover of Miles, because there was a Spider-Gwen Miles crossover. And yeah, that he played, Spider-Ham played a role in that.
But yeah, but he's never like the central part, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah,
it could be interesting to see.
We'll see how it works out.
I'm apparently wrong about comic books all the time. See, Zombie Hulk and Cosmic Ghost Rider. Because those are apparently the best books ever written. I'm just like, why? Which, to be fair, I haven't read the
more of Cosmic Ghost Rider or more of.
I haven't read any of the Hulk one. Which I'm totally blanking on what it's called.
Immortal Hulk.
Immortal Hulk. Yeah.
I read the first issue. Actually, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
just as the reading the like thing that Marvel put out of like the premise of it and just being like, yeah, you're gonna. Yes, that is a story that a paragraph like elevator pitch does not lend itself to.
No.
Like, but once you have more context and you see everything, I'm sure it's great.
It's one of those things like.
And Alex Ross has been doing the covers, and those
look phenomenal.
So good.
Because it's Alex Ross. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's one of those things. Like, Marvel in general is probably the worst about it. Like, you read out a Marvel plot line or like a synopsis to like any of the stuff that I've actively enjoyed, and it sounds bonky, dumb. Mm-hmm. Why would anybody ever think to do this? But then you read it and you're like, you know what?
Oh, everyone's insane.
I like that quite a bit.
And when they have multiple pages to express that, it works better.
Yeah, because like, there's been a lot of stuff. Like, Spider-Verse on paper is awful. You read it, it's an enjoyable ride.
Oh, I love Spider-Verse. It's so good.
Yeah, it's not the only one. That's just the
spider totems are kind of dumb. I think that whole premise is stupid.
I still stand by the execution and summary of Silk. Is just bad fan fiction. I stand by that opinion. You will not change my mind.
And Marvel made money.
I've stopped
off
trying.
Of it.
They made so much money off of it.
I've stopped trying to change my mind. Well, Silk got canceled. Spider Gwen is what came out of that making money.
Yeah. Well, I just meant like in general with like that event.
Yeah,
and
fair.
Stuff.
But anyway.
Silk got canceled because she was a bad fan fiction character. Like, we can't even make this.
Sue.
We can't even make this relevant. No, just it sounds like J.K. Rowling tweeted out. Like a spider, like to retcon a Spider-Man character.
They Aww. Found out a way to introduce a new Spider-Man character and did it in such a way that it was related to Peter's origins, but there was no way that Peter would have known about it until this happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And she kind of like kicks off the entirety of the Spider-Verse event. Like, she's been locked away because if ever her and Peter meet, then it could bring about the end of the spider totems. Which every universe has a Spider-Man is what the spider totems are.
And there's reality vampires that interdimensional that feed on the spider totems.
Yes.
It's never really clear what happens whenever, because they talk about how hungry they are. Never really clear what happens when they run out of spider totems.
Yes, the terms all sound insane.
Yep. But then you read it and you're like, all right, this was fun. Because I think like what's supposed to happen is they take out all the spider totems and then it just starts again until like two particular totems come about and then they eat them all and wait. Rinse and repeat.
Hmm.
And
it's a good book, I swear.
No, it's fun. Like, I read it because I had Marvel Unlimited for a while. Yeah. So I went back and, like, reread a bunch of those, like, arcs that I had missed. But,
But anyway, moving past that one, I guess. So, yeah, Spider-Man comic coming. A few weeks ago now about there's going to be a Valkyrie spinoff. Like, Valkyrie is getting an ongoing spinoff out of War of the Realms. It turns out, though, Valkyrie is actually going to be Jane Foster. So since she's not Thor anymore, I guess now she is Valkyrie. I haven't read, like, any of the stuff. Like, I was under the impression that Jane Foster was dead.
It doesn't mean that they killed her. Just that's kind of what we thought had happened.
Right.
Very easily could have been a thing that when Thor got his powers restored to him and they transferred back over, he used Odin magic to, like, save her.
Yeah. But now, like, Marvel. Yeah. But now Asgardian magic has made her Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she'll be assuming that mantle and getting another ongoing, which is cool because I know people, and I'm pretty sure Al Ewing is going to be writing it still. They haven't confirmed that, but that's the big theory. So, and I mean, he was the one, or Jason Aaron. Why do I keep saying Al Ewing?
Because whenever we were talking about it on the pre-show, you said it was either Jason Aaron or Al Ewing. Mm-hmm. So you keep going back to that.
And Al Ewing is doing the Immortal Hulk run, and that's, I guess, where that's on the brain right now. But anyway.
You're welcome.
Thanks, buddy, I guess. So, yeah, Jason Aaron is rumored to be writing it. And every, like, the Thor run with Jane Foster as Thor just, I mean, it won tons of awards. Like, it was apparently incredible, like, from beginning to end, just really, really good. One day I will probably try and read it, but I, like, by the time that I heard it was so phenomenal, it was like a year into that run, and I was like,
that's one of those that, like, I had, like, I made a little list of stuff that I wanted to go back and get caught up on when I had Marvel Unlimited, and it was on there.
Just never ended up,
I just didn't have time to, because then we got busy at work, and I couldn't just read comics while I was at work.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I'm not reading this at all, and I'm just gonna cancel it.
That's entirely fair. Marvel Unlimited, though, is a pretty incredible deal for getting caught up on all that backlog stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, Jane Foster coming up. We don't know when the book is releasing or who, what the creative team is going to be. We just know that that's what's happening. Kind of curious if War of the Realms happens to the original Valkyrie or they're going to coexist or what. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess that, because I have the first issue of War of the Realms. I don't have the second one yet because it's...
Oh, is it already started?
Yeah.
Oh.
Got the first issue. The last time we went up to VG, we had the first issue.
Okay.
So,
I didn't pick it up, so I just didn't see that it was out.
I did because reasons. Like, I should stop buying
because it's a Marvel event book, and
fair.
It's hard to say no to those.
And I'm definitely not going to, though, go all in on this one like I did into the Spider-Verse 2.
Get all the side stories and one shots and stuff like that.
Because I'm still waiting. I need one more book, and I'm hoping to find it at Comic-Con coming up to actually have, like, the full set of that, and then I can finally read it. Because it's like the third book in line is the one that I'm missing.
Oh, so it's not even a side one. You just don't have all of...
It's
just
a side one. It's Spectacular Spider-Man 301, I think, or something. Or not 301. It's a Spectacular Spider-Man book. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a side book, but, you know, it gives you, like, the reading order.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that's number three in the list, and I'm missing it.
Okay.
And I want it. I won't read it all. Anyway. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their podcasts as well as their social media links at ps2jshow.com. Last Wednesday of every month, they do a History of Gaming episode. I have the exclusive sneak peek of what that's going to be this month. They're going to do it on Dota, Defense of the Ancients, which is the game that birthed, it was a Warcraft 3 mod that birthed League of Legends.
Kind of kickstarted the whole MOBA craze that was around 5-6 years ago.
Longer than that even, because I started playing League of Legends in 2009, I think. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Though it didn't get, like, as dumb popular as it did until probably, like, 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm.
Defense of the Ancients kind of kickstarted.
Yes.
All of that.
Well, yeah, because the Dota All-Stars was the Warcraft 3 mod, and the guys that made that were the ones that went on to make League of Legends.
Okay.
More on that. I'm sure that Josh and Al are going to cover that way better than I just did in an entire episode devoted to it.
Yeah.
So check that out. Like I said, it's the last Wednesday of every month, which I think is this Wednesday for April.
Yes. Because the 30th is on, like, Monday or Tuesday.
Yep, that is correct. So, yeah. The 24th will be the last Wednesday. Then they'll have that episode up. Anyway, so we got the Xbox One S All Digital Edition has been officially announced, confirmed, and shown off. It is the Xbox One S without the slot for the disc tray, which...
Pure digital.
Yeah, it's pure digital. That's
all
fine.
Almost all digital.
It's completely fine. The Xbox One SAT edition. I was just...
Other people are pointing out that with the edition on there, it's Xbox One Shot A.
I like it. Anyway, so the it looks exactly like the Xbox One S, and this is what kind of bummed me out. Like, if you're getting rid of the disc tray, like, that should open up a smidge more space for you to kind of do a little bit of a redesign, but instead they're just keeping exactly the same mold from the Xbox One S
shell. Or at least
make
it smaller.
It's called cheaper production.
I guess.
And you have all those parts. You just...
You're literally just leaving one out, because like, yeah. Inside Gaming that Funhouse does,
but they're not having to make whole new molds.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But so like Lawrence opened one up, and it's like, yeah, this is literally just the Xbox One S. It's just, this is where the disc tray goes. Literally, nothing's different. They just didn't put that. They didn't put that in, and then they did have to make a new mold because that, or they just filled in the where the disc drive is for the 1S.
But that makes sense, because if you like, and then I only know this because of like action figures, if you can change one thing, if you can just change one thing as opposed to changing everything, it's still cheaper overall.
No,
so even if you like just kind of fill in that bottom spot, the black the black under, which is I'm assuming what they redid, you just put that shell on top of it, it's still substantially cheaper than just like redoing an entire
mold. It's because it's like, see that,
oh,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah
one
no
is,
it's in the white,
it's
yeah,
just the white shell,
so yeah, just filling it out, and then that can't be too expensive.
Yeah, but no, that's probably not hard to change the mold. And now, special guest Mr. 100,
I just have to ask this real quick, who is this for? Why do you build this? It's the exact same as a regular one, same size, same hard drive space. There's nothing different.
It's 1 terabyte.
It's
a bigger hard
it's
drive.
It's 1 terabyte.
Which you need, but you're going to have to get another hard drive for it regardless, especially if you're downloading everything and you're not installing anything from disk.
It's exactly the same space requirements.
Yeah.
Which you know Xbox takes up way too much.
Xbox doesn't... when you buy an Xbox game, it's literally just you're just buying the license to play it, because you have to download everything.
Yeah, we found that out with Call of Duty.
Yeah, because some games will have like a lot of the information on disc where you can play it on just with the disc, but you still have to install the entire thing. And yeah, sometimes, especially if it's an online only game, like sometimes that disc is just the license file.
But this seems like such an incredible. Such an incredible price point for an all-digital system, when you can just get a regular Xbox One S, buy a secondary hard drive to go with it, and you're going to have a much better time.
I also think the price is too much.
It is way too much.
That's my only real beef with it. I just wanted to jump in and just point that out.
Yeah, because the price is it's $50 below MSRP of the regular Xbox One S.
Yep.
So it's going to be $250 at MSRP. Right now, you can buy 500 gig... Or no, you could buy 1 terabyte systems for $209.99 on sale from places. Like, that's just like how cheap it's been. So like, I have to wonder, like, whenever they get the SAT edition, if it's going to be if they're gonna up the prices of their 1 terabytes, or if they're going to go $50 below that. And then I can kind of see it as like a cheaper option. Like, if every Xbox One S out there was still $300. I could see people with, a speedy internet connection that don't mind a digital library saving themselves $50.
Right.
And going for this edition. But as of right now, like Shannon pointed out, like it's cheaper just to get like an Xbox One.
And that's the big like criticism that a lot of people are having, is that the price point is, which roughly, and for a 4K Blu-ray drive, they're pretty much only saving that money, like production-wise.
Yeah.
Because that's roughly about how much it costs to put one of those in a system. So it's they're like the price point is a big miss. Like, a lot of people were expecting this to be like
$200
or $150.
Yeah.
Like, which would have been amazing, because that would then be for families who have not been able to go into the next this current generation of consoles.
Yeah.
Like, you can put something in like super cheap, and then it comes with 3 games, which are kind of funny because those are all games you can get on Game Pass, I'm pretty sure. Minecraft and Sea of Thieves, you definitely can. I'm not 100% sure about Forza.
You can.
Horizon 3.
Oh, Forza's, yeah, you definitely can get on Game Pass, except for the newest.
But so the...
which would be Horizon 3.
4. Horizon 4.
Really? They're up to Horizon 4?
Yeah, because I had it for a while. Yeah. That's the only reason I'm willing to argue that point.
No, that's fair.
Because I think
4 has even been released.
I think 3 is the one that comes with it. I'm not 100% sure. But so, it's kind of a miss, and they're kind of taking it on the chin. It is a good idea, I think. It's just the price point is what is... undoing all of that, all of the ideas that they're wanting to go for.
Because they could have released this system at, you know, $200 and it would sell really well, I think. Because it's a 1 terabyte system. If you've got a good internet connection, a lot of those games, you're, like I said a minute ago, a lot of those games are, especially if they're online only, which if you get a digital edition, you're obviously, you have internet. Call of Duty, like Dalton said, Black Ops, we basically had the license file on disk.
It's like 60 megabytes installed off disk, and then
and then the rest of it, you had to download the whole thing.
Forza Horizon 4, available on Game Pass.
I was going to say, because I think all of their stuff is like Game Pass. Like, that's the whole point of Game Pass, is anything Xbox exclusive, first party, is going on Game Pass day and date.
Yeah. Because, like, I was talking to somebody about it. I was like, I would consider buying one and just keeping it here at the store. But that's a very niche thing for, like, that not a lot of people have, where it's just like, well, I mean, I'd be at the game store that I'm always at.
And a secondary system that you've primarily moved to digital anyway already.
Yeah, like, then I could play it here at the store. I wouldn't have to lug around a bunch of equipment, but that's a very rare situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not many people are in a situation where they can just go ahead and grab a second system because they move around a lot. Mr. 100 again.
I think a point that we forget sometimes is it completely eliminates your right to the games that you own. Because you cannot do anything with them when you buy digitally. It's going to hurt the used market. It's going to hurt the secondhand market, game stores like ours. An all-digital platform not only robs us of money, which, whatever, we don't make the games. It's not really our right to have the money anyway. But more importantly, it robs the consumer their right to the things that they purchase. You buy a game physical. If you don't like it, get rid of it. You buy it digitally and don't like it, you're stuck with it. And I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, no, I do hope that, like, for this system, this is a return policy.
Steam has a pretty good return policy.
Yeah, Steam has a solid digital return policy, and a lot of, like, digital-only platforms have been releasing that. But
video games are kind of rare in that sense. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't see that as being a thing that they should have to consider. Because every sale that we make here or GameStop sells used, none of the producers, developers, game makers see a penny of that.
Right.
So, like, I get them not having to, like, is it, like, kind of a thing that we've just, it's just, this is an aspect of video games that we have just, as a medium, we've come to accept as part of the deal. But now that we're moving towards, like, more and more all digital, like, yeah, that's when you're going to start to kind of see that. And I don't necessarily think that they need to, that's something that they should have to consider.
No, yeah, like, because that for them,
like, it's not their responsibility to make sure GameStop can still turn a profit.
Right. And, yeah, that's exactly correct. Like, it does hurt the consumer a little bit in that, yeah, if you buy the game and it's terrible, then you can't, you know, sell the game to somebody else. You're stuck.
Which a lot of places have refund policies for games that are bad or games that are broken.
Right.
But, like, I don't think I'm going to use this anymore. I'm going to go sell it. Like, they shouldn't have to bear that burden of, oh, well, you've gotten your $60 of entertainment out of it. You're not really entitled to being able to.
Because I know, like, even Steam, I remember I bought, like, as long as you don't put, like, too much time into it, because obviously they could track that.
Yeah.
I bought, what was that game that everybody was freaking out about? Like, it was really, like, D&D similar. Sacred Origin, something
like that.
You're going
over my head right now.
I was playing it briefly with, like, Shannon and Bob. And the game was kind of fun, but then I found out, like, it's, your characters are session exclusive. So you can't play, like, you can't just make a character and play it in several games. Mm-hmm. You make a character for a session.
Yep.
And, yeah, I just, like, I wasn't having much fun with it. Like, I mean, Bob and Shannon have very different schedules than I do. They frequently start playing at 11 p.m. or later, and I can't do that, like, with my job. So I ended up, like, they let me return it. Like, and I got a full refund on the game. It's store credit. But, like, I would put that towards, I would put that towards another game anyway.
You were going, like, to pay for, because, like, I think there was one time, and this was PlayStation, I've never had to deal with Xbox's return policy on digital games.
I don't know if they have one at all.
Well, like, I know PlayStation does, because I accidentally bought a PS3 game on my phone, because I was like, oh, it's a Final Fantasy game I haven't played before. Let me buy that. And it was, like, $10, and I realized that I couldn't play on my PS4 because it was PS3. Also, super important to note, I was very new at the PS4, so I didn't know that was a thing. And this was before any backwards compatibility, but I had to get a hold of, like, Sony, like, their chat thing, and they were like, oh, yeah, no problem. Like, they were super cool about it. I've returned games through Steam that I, like, thought it was going to be one game and it ended up being another. Not that, like, I just buy a bunch of games. Like, I thought it was going to be a better game or a game that I was expecting more, and they were super cool with it.
But I do think PlayStation and Xbox have the same deal where, like, if you buy the game and you play it, that's it. Like,
no,
sometimes they will offer refunds.
any game may be refunded in the first 14 days with less than 2 hours played.
Okay, for Xbox and PlayStation.
That's Xbox One, because I knew Xbox had to have something.
So, I mean, that's cool. Like, if you play it and it's terrible and you're like, oh, never mind. Like, yeah, if you put an hour into it and you're like, I'm not going to play any more of this game.
Yeah.
Then you can get your money back.
But I think there's a very big difference between this game is broken, this game just flat out sucks, and, okay, yeah, I'm probably not going to go back to Call of Duty.
Right.
So, give me money back, Xbox.
Yeah, no, they absolutely shouldn't be, but then, like Xbox doesn't care about that, and I completely agree with that, but it is a bummer for the consumer.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a bummer. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not happy about it.
No, yeah, but that's
like, it's a thing that, you know, we kind of have to just check our entitlement of, you know, how we think the world should work, because it's just like, it doesn't necessarily...
But either way,
as much as I would love it to, because like I'm someone who, yeah, I trade in games all the time for stuff like, okay, yeah, I'm never going back to this. So I'll trade stuff in here, go to GameStop or whatever. And like, yeah, because it's a service I use. It's just not, it's one that I am aware that we are very fortunate that the market has allowed us to do this so far.
And I don't think that we're going to be switching to all digital anytime soon.
No, the internet infrastructure is not there.
No. Oh, I mean, even outside of that, like people just, the internet's fine. Like other than, you know, people that are in areas where it's, you know,
that's what I mean by like the infrastructure. Okay. It's not
like
wildly...
their platform that's the problem. Like there's, yeah, internet's not everywhere.
Yeah,
it
no, it's
be.
Just like if Xbox were to come out and say like, okay, next generation Xbox is entirely digital.
Oh boy, would PS5 kill?
PS5 would murder because they have confirmed that, you know, it's going to be physical based.
Yep. So I mean, there's a lot of people that just can't do digital content, like all digital systems, and there's a lot of people that just don't want to. They want to keep their physical for whatever reason. You know, they've got like, you know, they want to resell their games, or they want to like have, you know, access to the games. So a lot of games won't let you play offline anyway. Regardless, like, yeah, I think that's far away, and this is an option for people that don't really care that. Yeah. You know, it's digital only, because it's, I mean, PC gaming has been that way for a while. You buy a PC game and that's your game now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That can go to no one else.
It's just one of those things, like, I personally like having an actual disc. I don't know why that is. Like, I have some, like, digital games, but I don't think there's ever, like, a new release.
There's a collector mentality there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because, like, and I think that's what my little brain is.
I almost all my Pokemon games, with a few exceptions.
Yeah.
It's collector mentality.
I've never bought a $60 game on the digital platform ever. It's always been...
on sale or...
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those, like, if I'm buying a $60 game, I want something, not just the, well, I have the right to
something
play it
tangible
on my system.
That,
yeah.
Which, and Shannon brings up a really good point, too, of just, like, how these digital licensing go. Because, like, there's, you know, games even just a few weeks ago that are being, like... I don't remember they're delisted versus just... So you can't buy it again after a certain date. And then there are some games that if they just get pulled from Steam completely, like, even if you've bought it, like, you can't play it.
I'm always worried about that with Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the PS4, because I'm just like, I mean, at any time
just
you're
waiting for it at any
and
point.
And I was like, you already got my $60, so it really doesn't matter if you keep that game where I can
or
play
look
it or
look at Marvel Heroes.
That
like,
too,
the amount
yeah,
of time
yeah.
and money sent, like, people sunk into that, and now it's just, well, it's just...
Yeah,
now it's just gone.
Because that is a difference of, like, you know, an MMO. Like, servers shut down, they're down.
Right.
The real bummer is, like, with it, when that's happened to other, you know, online games, people have been able to make their own servers, but, like, they just can't do it for Marvel. Like, the people have been trying to get all the game resources and stuff, but so much of that game was run server-side that it's near impossible.
Yeah.
But anyway, we need to move past this. We got the PlayStation 5 specs. Looks like... estimated $500, like that's probably going to be the low, like the floor of the estimations for the cost of the system.
Given what we've seen of it, I cannot imagine it being less than $500 unless Sony is willing to take a massive hit per console sold in the beginning.
Yeah, and I don't think they will. Like, I mean, they've done it in the past, but because apparently the PS3 was sold below cost when it first
came
out.
So was the PS4.
Yeah.
Like but it's always been kind of like a slim margin. Like, I feel like if they go below five, they're like, that's going to be a way bigger.
Yeah, and the idea is that, you know, they make it up in software sales because software is big markup. Well, big markup for them.
Yeah.
But
store
anyway.
Wise, like $4.
Yeah. So, but they did say that it's going to be backwards compatible because it's going to be largely based on the PS4 software architecture. So that's easy to do. You'll have the hardware already there for it, basically. They're talking about it's going to be 8K compatible, which
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter right now because we don't have 8K TVs.
Like, they exist. You don't have one.
No. It will have a solid state hard drive.
If you're listening to this and you do have a 8K
there
TV,
it is. I was waiting for it.
Patreon.com/podzilla1985.
I was thinking that exact joke. I was just like, yep, and that would be.
What
a
do
perfect
you mean,
time.
Joke?
I no, was thinking yeah. that exact premise because I was like, oh man, that would be the perfect time to plug Patreon right. if you have one.
So back on track here because we are running low on time now. Solid state. It's going to have a solid state hard drive. It will support VR. They're working on PSVR 2. It'll support the current PlayStation VR headset. They gave us a lot more information about like the hardware and everything else, but nothing like that that really you guys would care about. The solid state hard drive I mentioned specifically because solid state is a massive upgrade.
Did you
versus
see the,
hard disk.
The loading for Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spider-Man went from 15 seconds load screen to 0.8 seconds.
So nice. The fast travel system going from like this one location to the next. Yeah.
Yep.
That video comparison is like, ooh.
You know,
I don't even have time to pick up my phone to open up Twitter, much less. Like, open up and see like what's on Reddit.
Yeah, because that like I've seriously thought about putting a solid state drive in my PS4. Like if I played my PS4 more, I would, but I don't.
I'm gonna ask what? How much one of those run?
A 1 terabyte solid state?
Yeah,
about $150. Huh. It's not actually bad. And no. it
does PS4 support the solid state?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, it's the same ports and everything. Like, you've been able to do them for a while. Like, you could actually put, like, in the original PS4 even, you could put a solid state. PS3, you could put a solid state drive into.
Neat.
And it just loads faster. Significantly faster.
Also worth mentioning, when you said backwards compatible with PS4, that is not going to include, like, PS3 and Vita in any of those games, because that was part of the reason that PS3... tanked and why there's not more PS3 backwards compatible with PS4 is because Sony decided we're going to do our own thing and you have to develop games a very specific way. And developers were like, no, thank you. This sucks. And so with PS4, they went back to like, no, this is so much easier for everybody.
Yep, because PS3 is on a completely different software architecture than PS2 or PS4.
Yep.
PS4, Xbox One, and PC are all on the same software architecture.
And PS5 will also be on that same.
Yep. And it makes way more sense to do it that way.
Yep.
The Wii U had a similar problem. Not only did they have a different software architecture.
They had a different controller.
They also had a different disc. Like, it was a Blu-ray disc, but the format disc was weird.
Huh.
It was different. Anyway, they actually had to produce their own. It was technically Blu-ray, just slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Different enough that it was trouble for third-party supporters. Or third-party publishers. But anyway, let's see. Cuphead 1.2 update's out. You can play as Mugman now. They added some more cutscenes and some other animation.
It's a free update, and it's on Switch and Xbox.
Yes. We also got an official release date for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. It's coming out July 19th for the Nintendo Switch exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely grabbing that. Super excited about that.
Oh, please don't drop the ball.
Smash Ultimate 3.0 was released, so we got the new character. The big thing that this is newsworthy, they added the stage builder. We talked about last week that leaked, but then they unveiled the stage builder. It's really cool. You can draw your own platforms.
And you can do so much more with it. Like, someone did a functioning Tetris level. Like, that was super cool. I mean, they didn't, like, disappear.
The Tetris blocks were, like, moving around.
Right,
stuff,
they didn't disappear, but they, like, landed and loaded, and that changed the layout. That one I sent you of the spinning wheel that you constantly had to, like...
Yeah, you were just trying to survive.
Yeah, like, there's some really cool stuff you can do with this, and I love that idea of the stage builder and how creative people are. And that's all people are talking about, right?
Yeah.
No.
So, because you can draw your own platforms, like, you can use the touchscreen on the Switch to draw your own platforms.
Oh, I know where this is going.
It's kind of like if you go to, like, the, you know, browsing stuff that people have posted. You know that gif of the girl getting hit in the face with hot dogs?
Mm-hmm.
That's what going into the stage builder is like right now.
And Dalton says he can see where this is going. Yes, literally every human being could see where that was going, except apparently Nintendo.
And that's the only one that mattered in that
case.
Well,
because like, it was one of those things, like, you know, it didn't happen in Mario Maker, and then they're like, wait, they couldn't draw in Mario Maker, could they?
Mm-hmm. And they had to do it in blocks, like, so if you were trying to do that.
And it did happen in Mario Maker. Still, it was just, it didn't look as detailed of Mario and Luigi sharing an intimate moment as it can now that people can just draw it.
Yeah. I have so many American Vandal jokes that I'm trying not to say right now.
I mean, no, that's pretty much
it. It's the video game.
Like, if they were going to do season 3 of American Vandal, it would just be Super Smash Brothers.
So is the, I know you have to pay for a Joker.
Yes.
Is the stage thing completely free, or do you have to? Okay. Well,
yeah, the only thing that you had to pay for in the 3.0 update was Joker and his stage.
How much was that?
$6. Huh. Or you get the fighter pass with all five characters and all their stages for $25.
Is it also the music that you have to pay for, or is that just included?
Included in the $6.
Okay. But you have to pay for the music as well. So it's like the stage, the character, and that character's all in like one music.
Bundle. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, all in one bundle. Which the music for they added for it is really cool. I really like Joker.
It changes the stage too. Depending on which game of Persona you're listening to the soundtrack of.
Yep. Because they added like music from Persona 3, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. And the stage will be blue, yellow, or red, depending on which of those
which game the music is
coming from. Which is cool. And the stage is actually super fun too, with hazards off anyway. I dig it. One of the few places like it has a slope, and I'm fine with it because it's big enough that it doesn't make a significant impact like Castle Siege. Mm-hmm. I need to stop. I'm not going to talk more competitive Smash stuff. Gears 5 multiplayer is going to be revealed in June. We don't really have much information other than that. GameStop is introduced the Guaranteed to Love It program, or introducing. And this is probably the last thing I want to talk about real quick before Ace's Mortal Kombat Minute. 48 hours after release of a game, and that's important, not after you buy it,
of release.
48 hours after the game released, you can bring it back to GameStop and get $59.99 in store credit.
Also worth mentioning that it's only for Days Gone so far.
Yeah,
Days Gone. This is not every video game that is released. It is only for specific titles that are essentially pretty much guaranteed to just be good.
And if the game, if it goes well, then I'm sure that they're gonna, you know, like branch it out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's one important thing that a lot of people are misreading on this. If you pre-order the game and pick it up on release day, you have 48 hours from that point. So if it releases on Tuesday, you can bring it back. I think Thursday would be the last day to bring it back
within store hours, because you know GameStops aren't 24 hours,
right?
Dangerous.
And it very well could be that if it releases on Tuesday, then it would have to be Thursday would be your last day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Thursday at close would be your last day to grab this. That means if you pick it up Thursday at open, you have till Thursday at close. If you pick it up Friday at open, you are not eligible for this deal.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's super important to note. Mm-hmm. Like, I know everybody sees that and like, oh, I'm going to con the crap out of GameStop, and that's not how it's going to work.
Or
you can, but not in the ways you're thinking.
I don't know what their return policy is on used games, but you can't pick up Days Gone, be like, all right, I got to get it back within 48 hours. All right, I got my full thing. Now I'm going to buy a new game. Get that for 48 hours. Nope. Mm-mm. These are very, very specific rules here. And also, you know firsthand, if you do start to try to cheese the system using whatever the return policy is on used titles, the store can just flat out say no.
Yeah, the return policy does explicitly state that store associates reserve the right to refuse any refund. And we had to use that pretty frequently because the used return policy, pretty generous. 7 days, bring it back for a full refund.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would abuse that. They would come back in. They would try to get, they would just return it, get another game, or
use it as a rental service.
Yeah, they would basically use GameStop as a free rental, as a deposit-based rental service.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of people that would do that. They would come in, they would just buy stuff, come back, return it, get something else, and keep doing that. And we got to a point where it's like, all right, you're not allowed to return this anymore.
What?
And they would just get really confused. But wait, your policy. Yeah, it also says that I have the right to refuse any refund.
And when I can look back on your account and see that you have bought and returned 6 games over the last 6 weeks, you have your account money, but whatever you purchase it on, you're stuck with.
Yep. So, yeah.
Hope it works.
It is a cool feature because if you get a game that's a true stinker, if you buy it on release day, you're super excited about it. You can bring it back in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, all those people that bought Duke Nukem Forever, for example, at release.
That's one of those games that's not going to be part of the program.
Yeah, no.
It's, this is one where it's like, oh, you're going to be looking at Days Gone is a Sony first party exclusive.
Yeah.
I will be stunned if this averages below an 8.5.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely been the trend. But
it's one of those, I will not lie. If they do this on a game in the summer, that will become the Dalton Anthony. I'm going to try to beat a game in 2 days. Because it becomes a no-loss situation. Mm-hmm. That being said, nobody report me to GameStop. Because I do want to try this one time.
You know they monitor us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Shannon.
And that's the other important thing.
who else is sitting at this table?
Thanks, Lindsay.
What?
She also worked for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, who was on that?
I haven't worked there for like
but who was on those
9 years?
It's been a minute.
There was a number of shows dedicated to GameStop.
There were. But yeah, it's also important to note that it's not a refund. It's $59.99 in store credit. Yeah, you're trading it in. Yeah.
You know how many toys I buy at GameStop? It'll still be a fun experiment.
No, I mean, I understand. I'm just saying, it's not like you're not going to go in there and get cash back. You get $59.99 in store credit. Store credit is not taxed. That $59.99 will buy you another brand new game.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea, but it's putting a lot of stress on employees that just doesn't need to be there.
That's the thing, is like, this is going to be a nightmare for the people working the registers.
Yep. It's like, I don't like GameStop, but for the most part, I'm a big fan of every employee we have at the Cape, minus one. And it's the same one. And I'll tell you in a minute, Shannon. I don't want them to have to deal with... It's Asa, yeah. Like, because there's like a couple of them. I'm like, man, that dude's going to get yelled at. And I like that dude. Like, yeah. He's super cool to me.
All right. So now, Asa, hit us with your Mortal Kombat Minute, and we're going to call it a day.
So we got the Shao Kahn trailer, finally, because he's the pre-order bonus. He has his taunts of laughing at you and you suck. Not only does he have taunts, the taunts are game, like, have impact. So, like, you suck will then, like, lowers your attack power. And, like, the laughter, like, boosts his attack power. I think is how it goes. I'm not 100% sure, but that was, like, what was on the, like, comment section and stuff. They are functional. We know they're functional.
That's kind of awesome.
He looks cool. A lot of his gears come out. And then we got the coolest video game trailer I think I've ever seen in my life is the launch trailer that has the movie song for that. They're using it for the first time ever in a game, something tied to the game. It makes my heart so happy. I'm excited. It has Cyrax and Sektor in it, which makes me sad because I'm pretty sure they're going to be just like MKX, Baraka, and Rain, and Tanya, where you can only fight them in the story mode. They're not going to appear anywhere else. Tanya eventually became DLC, but I would be very surprised if you had to pay for Triborg or like the robots in two games in a row.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing for Mortal Kombat that's relevant is how the community is now cannibalizing itself, because people are... They are setting their own expectations. They are deciding to twist words and statements from interviews to fit a narrative that they want to be true. Then when it turns out that it's clearly not true, they are getting very mad. And it's your own fault for choosing to think that someone may be misspeaking in one thing you're taking as gospel. And then it's like, no, there are no unlockable characters in the crypt. But someone said one time, I read it here. People, they said we were going to get that. How could they do this to us? No, that's not what happened at all. You're choosing to like try to hype something up on your own.
Yeah.
There
was a rumor that was based on something that you accepted as true.
And there's been so many times that's happened so far. And it's just really bad this last week because... There's all this disparity of like, okay, well, is the day one patch out, or are the people who are playing this early copy not having like the full content, so the news that they're spreading could not be true? We know the game has to be online for you to unlock costumes, and it's like, man, Injustice 2 was so easy to cheese on PC because you could go offline and say that you have all this gear and equipment and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And like, okay, well, now that you can't, now you have to be online to verify that you actually own this gear. Why would they do this?
I don't know.
The Eric Andre thing where he shoots Hannibal. Like, why would NetherRealm do this to us?
So, I was thinking Pikachu meme, like the surprise Pikachu face.
Yeah, exactly. the only thing that, like, I'm still super hyped for the game. I think it's going to be great. I'm excited for the story and, like, even the single-player content, even though apparently it is going to be very, very grindy, like, even more so than Injustice 2.
Worse than the multiverses?
Yeah. Huh. That's what I'm talking about, the legendary gear, where it's like, okay, you have to connect this specific move 250 times.
Well, that's
and you have to do that like four times. Like, you have like four of those things.
Wait a minute, maybe they can give me AI loadouts, and I'll make that AI loadout only do that move.
I mean, yeah, kind of. Like, I mean, that's stuff that people are like talking about. Yeah. But again, we don't know what the final after post day one patch is going to look like for sure. And then also, they announced that apparently the crypt, like, so they said that there's no loot boxes, but apparently the crypt is randomized. So instead of where it used to be like, oh, to unlock this specific thing, you have to go to, you know, this specific crypt number.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not that anymore. It's now tied more to, there's like various areas of the crypt.
Okay.
And those things will be there. instead of going to a specific numbered loadout.
But
so,
if you're there, it's still a completely random chance that you're going to get that or a bunch of other things.
Or something else, yeah.
Or something else that's tied to that area.
That sounds like a loot box to me.
No, that is a loot box. Like, that is the literal definition of a loot box.
But it, but all of that is not, like, that's not, that's all cosmetic still. And, like, fatalities and animations and stuff like that. So, I'm kind of hesitant. Like, it gives me a little bit of pause for how this is going to work. And how the Towers of Time stuff is going to work.
But you're synced in.
Yeah, but I'm also still, like, super excited. Also, there's apparently leaks for the DLC that came out that, for me, if they're true, is a little underwhelming. But I still have the premium edition, so I'm still going to get them, and I'm still out to see how it works.
Because, like, this, hearing you talk about it today turned it from a, I'm buying it on Tuesday, to a, I'm going to wait until about
I would wait for the reviews
week.
Or, like, wait for well, me to
yeah,
talk
yeah.
about
it. Yeah, I'm going
to
wait for about a week, maybe. I may still get it on Tuesday because I really want to play this game, but
well, cause
after hearing you talk about it, I may, and I'm not getting the premium edition. Like, I'm just going to get base game, and then if I enjoy it, I will just pay for the season pass later.
Yeah, which you can do. Because, like, I will probably, like, if we decide, because, like, I know we've talked about not doing shows next week for Con and prep for the Con and Super Show and stuff. So if we're not doing anything on Tuesday, I may just, because by then I'll have it installed, I may just, like, just swing by the store and play it for a little bit. And if you want to check it out, you can.
Sweet. That'll work. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in, as always. This is the last show for a week, so we will not be back until, not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday.
We will probably post the show we record at the Con, though.
That is right. We are going to be doing our live shows at Cape Girardeau Comic Con,
which just announced a couple days ago. The Friday live Podzilla panel is going to feature Road Warrior Animal.
Really?
Yes. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
So more on that later. For now, though, this is going to be the last show. We're not going to have Nerd Up next week, basically, or Mr. 100, PWU, etc. It's going to be the couple special shows.
That'll give us so much time for everybody to watch Endgame, and then we can do a review show.
No, it won't. Because Endgame comes out on Thursday.
Yeah.
Of the con. And then on Tuesday, we're going to start doing shows again.
Yeah. But the Sunday, it's fine. It's fine. The way I'm spacing this out week-wise makes perfect sense to me.
And as most things don't make sense to the rest of the people, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.